You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
KSL at night. KSL at night.
Welcome back to KSL at night on KSL News Radio. I am Adam Gardner here with Greg Skordas. It's been a great day. Lots to talk about.
And I've learned something about you over the last couple of days. You know everyone, but you're not like a geek for courtroom drama like I am. And so when we get these courtroom segments, you're like, well, I'm not sure I know about that case.
I'm actually raptured of what's happening. I'm learning along with everybody else.
Okay, good.
So okay. I'm not following the Chad Daybell case as well as I should. Like, I don't follow courtroom dramas and what's happening. I'm like, tell me what the judge said at the end.
What the jury says. Guilty or not guilty, right?
So, like, I know what's going on in a courtroom.
Oh, but this one's fascinating. This one is really fascinating.
And, you know, I followed along with it years ago when it started. I mean, I was watching KSL because I wanted to know the latest. And just after a while, I'm like, now I don't get it.
Well, so Chad's wife, Lori Valla, was convicted a year ago of two homicides and several counts of conspiracy to commit homicide. She's serving multiple life sentences, but she's also in Arizona now facing some charges there. Chad is charged with three homicides, not just the two children, JJ and Tylee, but of his own wife, Tammy Daybell. That was something that came out sort of late in the game, and we've heard some testimony even recently about that. You and I talked Wednesday night with Amy Kobabe, KSL News Radio reporter, who's been in Boise. I was there for a couple days. Amy's been there a lot longer. And Amy, you're up there today, aren't you?
I am up here today.
You're probably driving home by now, aren't you?
No, not yet. I'm going to save that for tomorrow because sitting in court for seven straight hours is enough to give you a backache. But I'll
Amy,
save
have
driving
you,
in one case.
Amy, have you ever been to a Republican state convention?
Very similar.
right. Except they don't go 16 days. And today was day 16 in Chad's case. Okay, Amy, I've been following the case pretty closely. I was up there for a couple days for openings and the first witness or two. And I was very curious, and you helped us with this a lot Wednesday night, how the state was going to tie Chad into Tammy's death. We heard a preview of that when we heard Lori Vallow's trial with JJ and Tylee, and sort of figured, well, some of what came out in her trial as it related to her is going to be similar with Chad. But we learned a lot about Tammy and her death this week too, didn't we?
Yes, we did, especially from family members. The sister-in-law of Chad spoke yesterday, as well as his mother. Those are two new witnesses in this case, and they both painted a picture of Chad after Tammy's death. The sister-in-law especially saying, you know, Chad had two separate stories for how she died, and he was, not kind of friendly about talking about her. And even I was just shocked yesterday where the mother said they went to a Texas Roadhouse with Chad. This was maybe 2-3 weeks after Tammy's death. Went to Texas Roadhouse, and there's this woman there with him, and they're holding hands, and his mom asks, well, who is this? You know, are you gonna get married? And they say, oh, we're already married.
This is
to his own mother. And so just definitely tells you the state of mind of Chad and not even telling his own mother that he's getting married.
And that, I think, establishes a motive. And that's not always an element of a crime, of course, but a motive to get rid of Tammy so he could be with Lori. And I think that's got to be part of the message that the state's creating here, isn't it?
Absolutely. And then today we heard from an FBI agent, the last witness to take the stand, and we just got through part of his testimony. But he walked through going through the property, Chad Daybell's property, and finding tools, finding obviously the bodies of the two children. But this is all on his property. It's just so clear, the evidence, when it's right there. And that is asked over and over again, you know, why were you searching on this property? Well, because we've tracked Alex there, and we had tracked Lori there, that they had enough evidence to know, at least early in the search for these two kids, that something had happened on Chad Daybell's property, and clearly something has.
So let's talk about the tools. I assume that the FBI was describing tools that could have or may have been used to cause the death of these two kids. Is that what we're talking about?
This is the burial. So a very dramatic moment where a pick was brought in and a shovel and unwrapped in front of the jury today. And this FBI agent held it up and shows that it's dirty, that it has black on the shovel and the pick, that they believed this was used to bury Tylee. He pointed out maybe some areas that there was char. And earlier had testified that they found, you know, pieces of bone. They found a necklace worn by Tylee all in this fire pit. And so believing that these tools had been used, you know, to maybe take some of her remains from that fire pit and bury it in what they called the pet cemetery. All just horrible. Chad sitting there very stoic during this testimony. He was not very, he was stiff. He looked uncomfortable. Everyone was uncomfortable. Two men sitting next to me were wiping away tears during this. And the jury also looked very uncomfortable. One woman repeatedly just shaking her head as they were shown photos of the property and the remains of Tylee's that they found in a kind of burned up bucket buried in that pet cemetery.
You know, Amy, I watched Chad myself that first day when they were doing openings. I was sitting sort of across the courtroom from him. Later on, I moved to where I couldn't see him quite as well. But he just had this appearance on him that it wasn't like I've done a lot of jury trials and had the defendants both as a prosecutor and a defense attorney. But he's sort of just sitting there like taking it in, like, I don't know. It's hard to read him. He doesn't unbothered. Show a lot of emotion.
Yeah, very, very unbothered. He'll talk to his attorney quite a lot. But today, you know, it's hard to get a reading on him for sure.
And let me ask you about the jury. We started with 12 jurors and 6 alternates. Has that, maybe you haven't been counting every day.
It has changed.
Okay, so I was wondering.
One person yesterday, I noticed, you know, okay, there's 17 people that just came in. And the judge did comment on that and said one person was sick and would not be able to continue. And so they were going to use one of those alternates, and he was confident they had enough. We're in week three, going into week 4 next week of testimony. I think we're in week 5. I just looked at my notes.
Yeah.
I imagine some people will get sick, and it's a good thing they have those alternates ready, because we don't know how much longer this is going to go on.
You know, it's a tough thing, Adam, because a juror can sit there and watch a trial for 6 weeks. But if they're an alternate when the trial's over and it's time to go deliberate, they send them home. They say, well, thanks for being here. Here's your $40 a day. Or in Idaho, I think it was $10 a day for the first couple of weeks. So that's a tough thing. Speaking of the jury, Amy, can you tell us, you said you sat next to a couple people who seemed uncomfortable, a person that maybe was a little sobby, you know, crying. Have you seen much emotion from the jurors? Like, what are they? Because when I was there, Amy, they were attentive. They were watching. They had, I think some of them even had notepads and of course, today was day 16. I'm wondering if that sort of level of, commitment is still present with that jury.
I've seen varying levels of commitment. Some of the testimony has been very dry, very dull, and I can see people, you know, kind of not nodding off, but looking like they want to. And then, you know, during this more dramatic testimony with the FBI agent today, very attentive, moving, looking to get a good look at the screens, because there's only a couple and there's a lot of people. And you know, the woman shaking her head. I have seen notebooks out and people taking diligent notes and things like that. But it really depends on who's testifying and what they have to say. Some of it, as you know, in court is just establishing, you know, okay, the training for
foundation.
A police officer.
Exactly.
Very
exactly.
very slow. Yeah.
I actually found this incredibly fascinating. So thank you for making this easy for even people as dumb as me to understand and get caught up. That was Amy Kobe, KSL News Radio reporter. Please stay with us next on KSL at Night. We're going to be talking about another trial. Trump's hush money trial continues as well. So we'll give you some updates before the weekend.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.